Blog Talk Radio.
We welcome you. We welcome you tonight in the land we're living. This is Agape Worldwide Prayer and Delivery Ministry. Pastor Ruth from North Carolina is your host tonight. We are here on February 12th, 2021. So we welcome each and every person tonight that may listen to this message, that may call in. You are welcome. If anyone does call in, after you call in, you can, with the guest call in number 516-387-1947. We know that if you are calling from a landline, you have to put in the one before that. But also to have prayer being ministered to, you click on one, and I will notice your hands up, and we'll minister to you if you have need of prayer. And we pray tonight. We thank God for being in the land of the living, another opportunity to worship Him, to praise Him, to glorify His name, to be here, to let the Holy Spirit administer and operate in the earth and being a vessel for the Master's use. We do praise God and thank God for that tonight. We thank God, like I say, for all that He's doing and going to do, and that's what you have not done. We thank Him and praise Him for that also, because He's still in control, and we still have to go about and do our Father's business tonight. So, Lord, we just lift You up tonight. We thank Him. We praise You, Lord, for being in the land of the living. We praise You for this opportunity. We praise You for this show. We ask You just to bless this ministry, Father, in the name of Jesus, that we may give You the glory and the honor. We may glorify Your name, God, and minister to the need of Your people, Father, in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, not only do we pray for this ministry, we pray for every ministry that is called by Your name, Father. We lift them up to You tonight, God. We ask You to supply whatever's needed, spiritual, physical, financial, emotionally, in every area right now, God. We ask You We lift the leaders up to You, Father. We lift up all the leaders in the church, God, the fivefold ministry and the church. We lift up the congregation to You, God. We ask You, Father, help the leaders to give out what's needed, to call the people to spiritual grow and bring glory and honor to Your name, to walk in their calling, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we just thank You tonight for Your love, Your mercy. We thank You for our family tonight, God. We thank You for a household salvation, God, in each and every family that's represented here, Father. We thank You for that right now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we pray for our nation, Lord. We ask the Holy Spirit to visit our nation. We need the Holy Spirit to make a plague come forth in the name of Jesus, to bring about a change in the lives of our people in the White House, all the way down. Also, God, on a local level, Father, in the name of Jesus, nationwide, Father, in the name of Jesus, every country, every nation, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray, God, You should pray for all of those who are in authority, Father. We pray for them right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. We ask You, Father, help us to honor You, Father, in the name, help us to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else be added, Father, in the name of Jesus. We seek Him, we pray, because we need a move, we need a touch from the Holy Spirit. Father, let Your Holy Spirit come down like You did, Father, during the days of great awakening, Father, like You visited off that Azusa Street, Father God, and in other places that where Your Spirit really came down and changed the lives of Your people, Father, in the name of Jesus. We come against, God, all the things that's going on in the world today that's not of You, Father. Not just one thing, all things. We break it back in the name of Jesus. And we ask, God, for You to send forth the Holy Spirit to bring deliverance and healing in the name of Jesus, Father God. We come against the hatred that's in the heart of people, God. That's why we need a visitation from You to change the heart of mankind, Father, in the name of Jesus, that we can really love one another when the love of Jesus comes in our heart, Father God. Lord, we come against, oh God, the lust for passion, Spirit, in every aspect that's out there in the land today, God. We break the power of it right now. Father, every God that's not of You, we tear it down in the spirit realm, Father, in the name of Jesus, and let the enemy scatter as the Spirit of God, you know, as it rises, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We praise You, God, for all that You're doing. We pray for the people in the nursing home. We pray for people, God, in the hospital. We pray for the doctors and nurses, God. We pray for every person, Father, in the name of Jesus, that is trying to help people, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I don't know too much about this vaccine they got, Father, in the name of Jesus. But, Lord, God, it's just to help people. I ask You to put Your touch on it, Father, in the name of Jesus. The Lord, that it will bring about, Lord, healing and deliverance, God. There won't be no side effect, Father, God. And those who of yours, Lord God, that you want to trust you. God, you speak to them, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, and you give them wisdom of what to do. Father, in the name, don't let them be pressure about people to do things that you are telling them not to do, God. And whatever it is right now, in the name of Jesus, God, we just want to thank you. We want to praise you. We want to glorify your name. We want to lift you up, Father God, right now, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, just thank you, God, for your love, your mercy, your kindness, God. We thank him. We praise you. Just for being by yourself, Lord God, we praise your holy name tonight, God. Lord God, we just pray for the police department, the sheriff department, Lord God, the mailman, anybody else out there, Lord, whatever they're doing, God, we pray. We lift them up to you right now, Father. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In the name of Jesus, we pray for our enemies tonight, God. We pray that you save them, you deliver them, and set them free. In the name of Jesus. And Father, help us, Lord God. Help us not to get in pride about things, God. Help us to understand, God, that whatever you do it, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, for your name's sake. It's not for us personal, Father God, for us to brag about that you done this and you done that because of us, Lord Jesus. It's never about us, God. Help us to have revelation of who you is in your word, Father. And Lord, I just pray for anyone that I've prayed for, God, that you seal your word in their heart, Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Lord, and we just want to thank you. We want to praise you. We want to glorify your name tonight, God. In every city, every place, every countryside, God, I pray for bereaved family tonight, Father God, in the name of Jesus. I pray you lift them up in the spirit in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, I also pray, Father God, hallelujah, for those who got loved ones in the hospitals or sick bed or wherever they are. I send forth your healing breath right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask you, Father God, to send the ministering angel to minister to each and every person tonight, God. In the name of Jesus, God, I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your love, God. Oh, I thank you, God, for being so merciful to me, God. I thank you, Lord God, for the things that you're doing. I thank you for having a roof over my head, God. I thank you, Father God, for how you have protected me, how you protected my daughter, God. I thank and praise God, even how, Lord God, bless her enemies, God. Bless her and keep her, God. Supply every need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Father, I ask you to send for her, both to help that she need, Father, to take care of the things that she had to take care of, Father, in the name of Jesus. But Lord, you say you're going to show her what a real daddy is. And God, I thank you right now, Father, for all that you're doing and going to do, God. Oh, Father, I give you the praise. I give you the glory. I give you the honor. Lord, help me to decrease that you may increase. Help me to give out and to pour out of my spirit. Let me open my mouth and let it come out what you would have to come out in the name of Jesus. I pray that it be a blessing. I pray that it be a healing and deliverance to people right now. I pray, Father God, that the anointing and the same words that I speak out will come forth in power, Father God, and tear down Satan's kingdom in the name of Jesus and destroy his kingdom. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I'm believing, Father God, by faith of the word that was spoken over my life, Father, in the name, as I yield to you, God, have your will and your way right now, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, God. We praise you. We honor you. We glorify you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, oh God. Oh, Father, we just lift you up right now. We thank you, God. We praise you. And, Father, you said in your word, if any two touch and agree, you said it shall be done. And you said anything we ask you in the name of your son, Jesus, you said that you would do it. So, Father, I know from what your word says that this prayer has been answered and it being manifest right now to bring glory to your name in the name of Jesus. We pray amen and amen. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name, God. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, we praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We honor you, God. We thank you, Lord God. We lift you up now, God. We just magnify your name, God. You are the King of kings and Lord of lords, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you for helping me to decrease that you may increase in my life, God. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this word, God. Thank you for this word, God. Thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, I'm going to come from Philippians, the 4th chapter. I rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. No matter what state that you're in, no matter what thing that you're going through, no matter what has come against you, the Bible tells us rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Because, you know, when we praise and thank him, he said, give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God. He said, give thanks for all things. So the scripture tells us rejoice, rejoice in the Lord. So we have to learn how, in spite of, we have to learn how to rejoice in the Lord. It's an act that we have to make up our mind that we're going to do. Rejoice in the Lord. And Paul was telling the people, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The first verse is, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. He was encouraging the people to stand fast in the Lord. We know that in order for him to encourage people, they had to be going through something at that time. And he's letting them know that you have to, hallelujah, hallelujah, rejoice in whatever you're going through. Praise the mighty God, because nothing that you go through is a coincidence. Everything has been designed by God. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. We praise you, we glorify you, in the name of Jesus. He said, I beseech you. Basically, he said, he's asking, requesting of you and beseech syntax, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. We as believers, it's telling us we have to be of the same mind. You know, all of us, I know a lot of times, you know, in my rejoicing for what I'm going through, not complaining, a lot of times it's really vex people and get on people's nerves. But, you know, I know what I need to do to stay on top of things. I know that I can't change things. Only God can change them. So I might as well rejoice in the Lord. That's what I might as well do. He said, I entreat thee also, and basically begging thee, true yoke fellows. That means they were yoked together as true fellow brothers in the Lord and sisters in the Lord. He said, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, people saying, reclaim it also and with other my fellow laborer whose names are in the book of life. You know, no matter what people are saying today about how God does not with women, do not, but the Holy Ghost abide within. It's the Holy Ghost that does the work in a person's life. Hallelujah. And as they yield to the Holy Spirit, and God's going to get his work done. Because even at that time, Paul was telling about the fellow laborers in the gospel. And their name was already in the book of life. In the book of life. I mean, the heaven bound. It was already heaven bound. You know, we got to come to the realization, come into real description to the word of God and get a understanding, a revelation from God. How he feels and how he sees things. Because it is the Holy Spirit in this New Testament time that does the work. He used a body. He used a body to do the work. That whoever spirit abide in him and yield to him, he will use them. And, you know, we got to understand that it's not about how people are trying to think and trying to say, but God doesn't have to just use a particular person. He got to use a man. He used mankind. That's what he does. Allow his spirit to abide within them. He's what's not saying here, like I said, even when somebody rejoice in the Lord. He just wasn't talking about a man. He was talking about his people, mankind, brethren. He's talking about the sisters and the brothers, those who belong to him. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He telling us don't have an opportunity or time to stop rejoicing, no matter how bad things is or what's thing going on. He telling us we need to rejoice, be happy, be joyful. Because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So a lot of time we have to give a sacrifice praise, a sacrifice joy of the Lord, even when we don't feel like it. When it shouldn't even be that we should do that. But because of what he said, out of obedience. Because the word of God tells us that if you love him, you will obey him. If you love him, you will keep his command. So it is a requirement for us that we, as a people, will obey God. We will rejoice. That's like a command. I command you when all hell breaks loose. I command you to rejoice. I command you, because the joy of the Lord is going to be your strength. That's what's going to help you walk you through, you know, through whatever you're going through. Help you to, not to look at what you're going through, but look at the ones that died on the cross for you. Rejoice in the Lord. It said, let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand, you know, to all men, not to some, to my mankind. That's what he's talking about. Let it be known to mankind in the name of Jesus. And what we got to realize a lot of time, we may not feel like praising him. We may not feel like glorifying him. We may not feel like doing anything. But scripture tells us that we got to rejoice in the Lord. You know, we got to keep that joy, because the joy of the Lord, like I said, is our strength. And we must always be rejoicing and praising God and thanking him for whatever he's doing. And basically, the word of God is telling us, you know, in whatever we're going on, you know, be patient. Be patient. But unto all men, not some men, some mankind, you know, he said the Lord is at hand. That means the Lord is near. You may not physically see him, but you see him in the spirit because of what his words say. He's right there in the midst of whatever we're going through, but he's still saying, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. And I'm coming from Philippians, the fourth chapter, where he's telling his people, Paul was teaching people, rejoice in the Lord. Not because everything is okay, not because everything is, you got everything, but he said, rejoice in the Lord. You know, so the joy of the Lord is our strength. And what I try to do with my life, I try to really, really always, not, I know the things going on. I see a lot of things going on. I may testify about some things, but I try not to hang on some things that go on, because I need to keep my joy in the Lord. Because when I keep my joy in the Lord, that means God will move quicker in my situation. You know, like I say, a lot of times I may or may not tell people what I'm going through, you know, really some things that I'm going through. But I have to keep the joy. I have to keep the word before me, because I'm obeying scripture. I'm obeying what he's telling me to do. And then there are times the Lord will have prophets telling me, the Lord said, rejoice. Or the Lord say, don't look at what you see. Or the Lord say that you know that he's doing this, not that you believe. So he said, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. I mean, be strengthened when you believe the Lord. Believe his prophet or his messenger, whomever he speak to. The Bible says, so shall ye prosper. So this is what I really try to do a lot of time, because I need my joy. My joy of the Lord is the strength. And that strength from God can make me go through any and everything without complaining, without questioning God, without looking at wondering why this and why that, but knowing that it's going to work to my good, because that's what the word of God says. But the Bible tells us to the sixth verse, said, be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious for anything. Don't be in a hurry for anything. Whatever terminology we want to use. You know, we got a lot of terminology, but like I tell people, it does not make any difference what terminology, what synonym you use and how it's spelled. It means the same thing. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. So that goes again. He tells us in everything. Some people pray about something what they feel is important to them. But God, the word of God tells us to pray about everything with prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So the scriptures give us command to tell us what to do and how to pray, how to live that life and what to do. You know, a lot of time, you know, people use their own head knowledge or whatever it is to do things, or they go and do things God has not told them to do or give them the okay. They don't even pray about it. But the Bible tells us again to pray about in everything, but pray in everything by prayer. Everything, not something. I don't care if I go to the store, I need to pray. You know, to pray to see if I need to go out at that time or whatever it is, because I could go at the wrong time and it could be an accident down the street or anything I can get involved in. So it's important to obey scripture. Because if I don't obey everything that he put before me, it's no need of me obeying some. Because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Because disobedience is partial disobedience, it's the same thing as disobedience. If I'm going to obey him on something, you know, I'm going to use my sense, as they say. You got spiritual sense, but that's not what people talk about, you know. So we can't use that, because in the kingdom of God, it does not work. He said, and the peace, when we do this, and the peace of God, not the peace of man, the peace of God, not peace because I got everything, not peace because I got what I want, not for that peace. He said, but the peace of God, which passes all understanding, that means that your head cannot understand why I'm not freaking out over this, why I'm not freaking out over because God is not doing something, why I'm not freaking out because God has given that person peace to surpass all understanding. There are times in my life, a lot of things going on, and I have to ask God, why am I not upset over that? What is wrong? Is something wrong with me? And the Lord let me know he had given me the peace, and I trusted him that he's taking care of it, and there wasn't no need of me fretting about it, wasn't no need of me worrying about it, because it was past man understanding. And a lot of times people cannot understand why you don't freak out over stuff and why they think you don't care or they think you don't understand, you know, all this I'll call it ignorant stuff that they say. But they don't realize the place in the spirit that that person may be. And they got so much trust in God. They don't worry about it. They don't think about it. They don't prepare for it because they prepare themselves in the Word of God. But he say, pass all understanding. And this is what's going to keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. And this is why I say I can tell when a person's not doing that. Because why? They allow me to let me know from what's coming up out of their mouth. I know what's in their heart. I know how they're thinking. And I know they have allowed the enemy to steal the peace of God from them. They steal the peace of God from them. And what's coming now, all this other stuff is on their mind. You know, all this other stuff is keep coming because they have allowed the door to open. Not the devil, not somebody else, but they have. They have not obeyed Scripture. You know, they're worrying about this, they're concerned about this, they're concerned about the other. As people say sometimes, they tell me, well, you got to do something to prepare for this. No, you prepare yourself in the Word of God. That's how you prepare yourself. You prepare yourself by obeying God, obeying His Word. Not in the natural, because you can do all that in the natural and see it when the time comes and still miss it. But we have to learn how, like I said, to be patient with the Lord. Because the Bible says, after patient, you know, basically we receive the promise of God. You know, when we stop worrying about it, stop talking about it, you looking for it with a spiritual understanding of it, not with a natural understanding. Not every minute I'm asking God about it. Not every minute I'm praying about it. And not every minute, you know, we got to come, God, what's wrong? God, why not? I don't have the peace of God on the inside of me because I'm worried about he's not moving fast enough or is he going to do it or is he not going to. I'm believing in my heart because of my action. I don't believe he's going to do it, so I got to keep questioning him about it. I got to keep figuring it out and whatever because when you trust a person, don't care who it is, and they tell me they're going to do something. If I really trust them, I'm not even concerned about they're going to do it. I know they're going to do it. I just don't know when. But if I don't trust them, I'm going to ask them about it every chance I get. Well, are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? Are you sure you're going to do it? But he's saying, I don't want my people to be that way about me. I want them to grow in the spirit and get to a place that if I told them something, if I do something, I'm going to do it. I may not do it when they think I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it because I gave my word, and he will not let his people come to reproach. And that reproach means he will not let us come to shame. Because why? I don't testify his word. I don't put his name out there. I did everything I know to do in the spirit, and I stood on the word of God. Instead of me lifting up the problem, I'm lifting up Jesus. I'm always talking about Jesus. I have over the years heard people lift up a lot of things and a lot of people, but very few Christians I hear lift up the name of Jesus. They don't really even talk about Jesus, but they will talk about other people. But I talk about the one that can help me. I talk about the one that I need to help me. I lift him up. He said, if you lift me up, I'll do the drawing. He didn't say if I lift somebody else up and talk about them. And basically, like I said, the Bible said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. And usually, you can tell who is or what is a God to a person, because whatever it is, that's what they talk about all the time. But the Word of God said, these are the things that we should think on, keep on our mind. But it's a choice act that we have to do. Can't nobody pray for you to do it. Can't nobody make you do it. We have to make that choice and say, I refuse to think on anything other than the Word of God. I refuse to think on anything other than what God promised me. The Bible says, finally, brethren, and like I said, this is not just talking about men, this is mankind, really. Whatsoever things are true. So if the enemy is telling me something contrary to what God's Word is saying, which is a lie, I'm not supposed to focus on that. I'm not supposed to think on that. But I can think on the Word of God, on what His Word says, because His Word is true. No matter how it looks or smells like or tastes like. So there are things that suffice. You have to go back to the Word of God, and we have to do what the Word of God say do. And if whatever the devil's saying, whether it's through somebody else, and I know like a lot of times my faith get attacked because of trusting in the Lord. And a lot of time, the enemy or work through people or whatever they'll say, you know, but no, that can't happen or this can't happen, you know. And I have to come in and fight the good fight of faith with my faith walk. But God said it. God said it. And what God said is true. What God said, his word is forever settled in heaven. He said, not one jot, not one tittle, his word going to fall to the ground. So anytime anyone or anything want to come contrary to that and wants to make me believe the other, it is a lie. And Satan is a lie and the father a lie. So I will refuse to accept that because this is about my God and what he's promised me he's going to do. He said, think of that which is like true. What's the other thing honest? He wants us to think of what is honest. And basically, going back, you know, even what is honest and basic is true also. But he wants us to think on those things, not on something that's it's not, because honor is also the word venerable, you know, venerable. So we have to think on the thing, what does God's word say? How does it say? How does he say going to walk on? When the enemy tell me, so, but you know, Sister Ruth, you can't get a house, because you don't have the money, you don't have the down payment, you don't have your bills together, you don't have this. That's not what my words say. That's not even true. So I got to go back to the Word of God. I got to know what it say and believe on what the Word of God says. I said, as a believer, a true believer that got faith in the God that I serve, that is not for me. That is for an unbeliever. Or whatever the situation is that seems difficult, it seems like you can't make it, it's not going to pass. He says in his word, you can do all things, or I can do all things, basically, through Christ that strengthened me. So if you're telling me this can't happen, this can't change, whether it's about somebody else or about me, I have to tell you, you're talking for the enemy, because whatever he says is a lie. God said, I can do all things, not some things. And he said he would hold no good thing if I walk aright. He says if I commit my ways unto him, he'll bring to pass. And this is why I say, you know, with me, I try to know what the Word of God say. I try to keep it. Even during the time when I was really, really going through a lot before I grew spiritually, I would take the Word of God and I would put it on the wall, on thing to say, you know, to see what the Word of God said, to keep the Word before me. The Word of God say this, the Word of God say that. And I just hammered that word in my head. So every time anyone came out to say something contrary to the Word would come out. The Word would come out. And a lot of times they got offended, got mad or whatever it is. And yeah, but no. But no, the Word is what it is. That Word been hammered in. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. And what people just not understand a lot of time, that particular person's situation, they have put the Word down in their spirit. The Word has come life to them. And so anytime they get squeezed, the Word come up. Now, you use a parable to tell people, like I say, if I say that I'm an apple and I get squeezed and I want to see it come out, I'm not an apple or vice versa. If I say I'm a Christian, if I say I got the Word of God in my heart, then no matter what I go through or get squeezed, the Word of God's going to come out of my mouth. The way God does things going to come out of my mouth. How he sees things is going to come out of my mouth. Because why? That's what I have taken the time to put in my heart, the Word. Like David said, you know, he hid the Word in his heart so he might not sin against God. And that's the difference in people a lot of time. And people don't know, you know, that person have hid the word of God in their hearts, because they had gone through some things that it took only the word of God to bring them out. That was the lifeline rope that they had to hang on, was the word of God. They couldn't hang on why he couldn't, why he wouldn't, and they couldn't hang on with Sister Susan won't do this, or Sister Susan won't make it, or Sister whatever. They don't look at things that way, because they know if they did, they're going to sink. And sometimes what people don't understand is some things that God take them through to make them. He take them through some situations, things where they can't have to, they ain't got nothing else to rely on. They ain't got no money. They ain't got no this. They ain't got no nothing. And God tell them to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. They have to stand still and wait on the Lord to make it, so they have to trust that word that he's given them. Because he has not allowed them to go to the different places to get this and go and get that or whatever it is. You know, so they had to stand. So that person, because of what he's taking them through, that's why they stand with the word of God even when it look like ain't nothing going to happen. And we got to self-discern and understanding what God has taken some people through to get them to that point. And that is why they like that. They're not being arrogant. They're not being whatever, know-it-all. They're not being anything like that. But, you know, they got a saying that says, walk a mile in somebody else's shoe. Because anytime anybody, they've got a little bit, a whole lot. Okay, and God can show us how to improvise or to do whatever. But then there are some that he don't let them have nothing. Just like when the father made Adam back during the, you know, Genesis, had nothing but dirt, but he made man. There are some people in their life, God don't let them have anything but just a small amount of something, and tell them, okay, now you stand still. And you trust me, I give you the rest of it. So each one of us got to take us different ways to teach us different lessons, because there are going to be different people that we have to reach, that we have to give that to. But if you're going to work for the kingdom of God, because you realize that God said he take the impossibility to make the possible out of. This is what he say he do. This is how he say he do. But anyway, he said, whatsoever thing of lovely, my complaining, my wondering, my whatever I'm doing, it's not lovely. The word of God is lovely. What God has done in my life, how he had blessed me, how he had taken care of me, how when he took nothing and made something out of it, when he took my regular life and made me to be a true woman of God, not complete yet, but he is working on me. He's perfecting me in the way he wants, just like a potter, take a clay thing and take and make a base out of it. He's doing that way in my life. So I'm not intending to go backwards. I'm going to still continue to go forward in him and let him do what he needs to do in me, let him change the way I think, the way I look at things. But the Bible says, whatsoever thing a good report, tell me, don't bring me no negative report. Don't bring me no why something can't happen. Don't even bring it to me by another person why they can't happen, why they can't make it. Because that's not a good report. Because God's word say, any of us, we can make it. The Bible say, if any of us commit our ways unto the Lord, we can make it. So for someone to tell me that another person can't make it, they can't make it because this, that, and other, I got to choose to believe the word of God. I have to. Because the word of God is what's going to bring me out. The word of God is what's going to take me through. The word of God is what's going to help me to relieve a bleed of God. He said, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. If I'm complaining, I'm not praising God. If I'm wondering and trying to figure, I'm not praising God. If I'm asking why is this happening, why should it be happening, or it doesn't make sense, whatever terminology I'm using, I'm not praising God. So I mean, I'm not obeying his word. He's telling me in this scripture what I need to do in order for my joy to remain, in order for him to move in my life. He's telling me what I need to do. So I must obey him. And he says, those things which ye have both learned, he was telling the people, and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace should be with you. Based on what he's doing, what Paul is doing, is telling the people, you know, the same thing I try to tell the people. I'm trying to tell you what I have done in order to learn how to keep the peace of God. I'm telling you how I have learned how to look at things, to see things, to keep the peace of God. And Paul was telling his people, the things which ye have learned and received and heard and seen in me, you know, he was an example to people. Do these things. Follow his example. You know, and he let people know the God of peace shall be with you. That meant that if I do not do them things, and any time I tell people the peace of God has left them because they're not doing what the word of God say do. They're not believing God. I don't care if it's for a second or half an hour or if a day or several days. They are not trusting what his word say. They are taking their mind off of God and put it on the things and put it on why did I have them, why I can't have them, and all this stuff. And so for to ask me to pray for the peace of God to come by, if you have not learned how to keep the peace of God, there's no need of me praying for you. That is something on you or I that we have to do and not allow the Holy Spirit to think on the right thing. And a lot of times it have been, I was trying to think on the right thing and say the right thing, and most time, I'm talking about believers, if they're not laughing, they're making comments or whatever they are, like something is wrong with me, and I don't see it and I don't understand because I choose not to focus on what the word of God, but me on what other people say, but focus on the word of God. Focus on what he has said. Focus on and believe what he has said. But the word of God say, but I rejoice, he said, in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your cares of me have flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. He was saying, you know, time came, they lacked opportunity to really be a blessing in the man's life. God a lot of times opened up doors, a lot of time for us to be a blessing, to bless people. And we don't pay attention to the door. We ignore it, or it got to be to our convenience, or how we want to, you know. And basically, like I said, when God tell me to do something, then I need to do what he said do. I don't have to wait for the opportunity. Somebody else tell me, you know, well, you know, I'm gonna give you the opportunity. I'm gonna make things right for you, and then that's the way you do it. But if you want to obey God, you want to do what he said do. Then what you will do, you will take the opportunity to do what the Lord tells you to do. But he said, not that I speak in respect of want. He said, I'm not telling you to do this because I got any wants or I got any needs, you can say. But I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. He's saying no matter what condition he's in, he have learned how to be content. He doesn't complain. He doesn't be begging God and want this and want that. And when you say you're going to do this, Lord, I'm tired of waiting. I'm tired of doing this. I'm tired of doing the other. All of this stuff. All of it. He says in his word that, you know, learn how to be content. And Paul was saying that's what it was for him. You know, he said, I know both how to be abased, brought low. I know how to be abound. Lifted up everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to be abound and suffer needs. Basically saying whatever shape or whatever condition I am, I don't been where I had nothing. I don't been where I had an overflow. But in neither place that I've been was I complaining, where I was wondering why God wasn't doing this or why he's not doing that. I was at a place one time he was saying, where in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to be abound and to suffer need. So he said he'd been in every one of those different situations and conditions. But in being in that condition, he was still contented. He was still learn how to be contented in whatever state it was. He said, this is when he said, well, a lot of us quote this scripture. But it hasn't come a reality to a lot of people. But he said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And this is what we as a people need to say, no matter what the condition is, what we don't have. You know, a lot of times these days we hear people just big so much. And they're not even thankful for what they already got. They're not even thankful for it. You know, some people have, you know, have a, God done gave them 5-pair shoes, now they want 10 or 15 pair and cannot wear them all at one time. Maybe have a houses, and not that they're going to use it for be a blessing to the kingdom of God if somebody's sin, but they want more houses, just to brag about they got more houses, but to see people in need and won't even help them, won't even do anything for them. We got to realize that I don't care what our situation is. We can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. We got to really believe what the Word of God says. We got to really stand what the Word of God says. He says, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate, and he means to give or to share with my affliction. He's basically saying they shared what they had, the things they had, when he was in need. A lot of times with us, we see people in need, we have an overflow of stuff. And we won't even share. A lot of times if you share, you got to be with family or relatives. But God wants to reach out to other people, to share with them, to give. Because once to me that you've been a place, you've been where you didn't have or you without, and what you do then, you know how it feels to walk in somebody's shoes at. And if you've got the heart of God and you contend it, then what you would do, you would give God or give them and bless them because you know what it feels to be like that. You know exactly what it feels. But the Bible lets us know a lot of times, you know, we have to have the compassion of God to reach out to others, to have some kind of, because you don't never know when your day is going to come. Because I don't care how much, one thing my mama used to tell me, a bird can fly high, but it got to come down to eat sometime. You're not going to always stay up on the mountaintop. You're not going to always be there. So you don't know, because the same seeds you sow, the Bible says you're going to reap them. That at that time when you were like that, you may want somebody to reach out to you, but because you didn't reach out, they're not going to reach out to you. Because they're not in control, because the Bible tells you that he said in his word that every seed sowed, you're going to reap. He says that. It's not the person, but he said that. So what we really going to have to do and know that we cannot, and I'm going to read this scripture and I'm going to come back. 1 John 3:17. I'm going to come back to what the scriptures say. The scriptures say, hereby perceive ye, this is 16 verse, we the love of God because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever has this world good, sustenance, and sees his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion, it means that he closes his heart up and won't help him. He say, they won't have pity for him or sympathy. How dwelleth the love of God in him? Based on what he's saying, they don't have the love of God in them. This is what our words, God tells us. He say, my little children, let us not love in words. So basically he's saying, if I shut up my bowels of compassion, I'm loving in words. I'm loving in tongues, neither in tongues, he said, but in deeds, in action, and in truth. You know, so we have to really, you know, search ourselves, and say, my little children, let us not love in words, neither in tongue, but in deeds, and in truth, action. And hereby we know that we are the truth, and shall assure our hard before him. And it going down, they say, for our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandment, condition, and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he has gave us commandment. His word comes with confidence. That's what his word comes with. Going down and say, let me go back to where I was. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we got to love in God's word and confidence in it. Not just say something, be saying something and don't mean it. You know, I don't like to do the cliche things. Just say it and I don't mean it. Before I do that, I won't say it at all. But he say, in Philippians, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate, I mean, shared with my affliction. Paul was saying to the people, you know, you gave unto me. You, my needs. And a lot of times people see needs of people, and they only will share needs with people they know. But that's not the heart of God, you know, because the Bible's talking about, I just got through reading about that shedding up your bowels of compassion, how dwelleth the love of God. And so scriptures tell us that if I do that, the love of God is not in my heart, no matter what I say, no matter how I make excuses for it. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated, that means shared, with me as concerning giving and receiving. But ye only, they was the only one that gave unto his ministry. You know, and like I said, that word communicate in the New Testament means to share or to give. That's what it means. It does not mean to talk or have conversation. It's not saying that. But even in Thessalonica, ye sent once again unto my necessity. He said, but still giving, still blessing. He said, not because I desire gift, he told them, but I desire fruits that they may abound to your account. And what he basically telling them, when you give it, it's not even for me, but it's for your account, for it to come back to you. And this is why a lot of time the church world get this description in Philippians 4 chapter, and I'm going to get down there to 19th verse, and use it and use that out of context, because like I said, the people was giving it to Paul's ministry. He was speaking forth the word in their life, saying, because other places and other people, he said, even they wouldn't even communicating, they wouldn't even sharing in his ministry, wouldn't even giving anything. But he said, I have all and abound. I'm poor. It's not that I need anything. But you need to do it so that, like I said, the fruits in your life, whatever the fruits may be, abound to your account, that God will bless and give back. And like I said, this is what I've learned over the years. I give out of love. I give out because the Holy Spirit tells me. I don't give to accept something back, but I know God. If I whatever seed I sow is going to come back. If I give back and give it the right heart, right motive, he's going to give back anyway, so I don't have to put a label on it for him to bless me. He say, have received of Aphrodite, the thing which was sent from you, a odor, a sweet smell, a sacrifice, etc., a well-pleased to God. He said it was well pleasing to God. It was a sweet smelling sacrifice that they gave unto him. They don't say how much it was or whatever, but they had to give from the heart. They had to give from the heart. And he was saying that the man of God was saying it was well pleasing to God. He said, but because this is what it says in 19th verse, but my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But people have to always go above that scripture and below, to see why it was said, what they meant about it, instead of just putting it out of context. Because what I did when I was really going through and was in the wall and was praying for money, praying, and I needed it in the natural. Because every bill, credit card, everything was due. Rent, you know, gas bill, light bill, and all that. And in prayer, God had someone to tell me, in which I wasn't praying it out because I don't do that, praying it out. God said, you don't need no money. Now, to the religious mind, a Christian mind, they said, well, that doesn't make sense because the scripture says this. I know what the scripture say. God knows what his words say. But he was saying that need or that whatever is in your life, it's an opportunity for me to show you I'm God. You don't just use this because you gave you whatever there, but Paul was telling the people, and he wasn't telling the people that we all could just claim that scripture. But pretending because they gave into his ministry, they was in a place because they gave, he could speak a word in their life. There was times that the Lord had people bless me, and the Lord had me turn around, and I always used to pray, you know, back a hundredfold. Well, yeah, I know God, but you don't understand. Let me speak a blessing in your life. I didn't say God wasn't going to bless you, but this is a bigger blessing because of what you did. You know, so we have to, sometimes we cut the blessing of God off by our own ignorance and learn, you know, and think. And nobody's saying that they didn't believe God. But they don't know when a woman or a man or God speak forth a word and they speak from the heart of God. Okay, God's going to get them beyond what they want and ask for. He said, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And then he said, now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. So basically, he's saying we need to be learning how to be contented in whatever state we're in. That's what Paul said he learned how to do. He knew how to be abased and abound. He knew how to have and not have. But in the midst of whatever it was, he said he never was complaining, never crying, never praying for God to give him more, and for God, when you're going to do it and when you did. So a lot of time, a lot of things we say and do, we hinder in our own blessing because we don't study Scripture. We don't study Scripture, you know. And basically, greed is being brought up in a person's life, you know. And the one thing, but lust and passion, because you can never, the more you feed a spirit of lust or passion or whatever, it can never be satisfied. So during that time, if I constantly begging God, constantly asking God for something, that thing will get bigger and bigger. If God give me something, I'm going to want more. I'm going to want more because it's a lust, it's a spirit that I'm trying to satisfy. Well, we thank God for the word of God. We thank God for him when he said, rejoice in the Lord. The scripture, the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's what he said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Not complaining, not mumbling, not wondering why God this, and God, you know, I wait long enough, and God, I done this, and I done all this, what's come. A lot of times what we do, we really hinder our own self. But we thank God for the reading of his word and the word that he brought forth, and I just pray that whoever may go back and later listen, I pray that they can, that they would see what the word of God is saying and really begin to examine their own life. So I'm going to take this call because I got to a few minutes left to be on here and do whatever the Lord say, do or pray. What you call so we do tell the Lord thank you. All right, 251-342. Yes, ma'am. You do.
This is Latrice from Bama.
And we thank God for Latrice from Bama, and we just pray and be in agreement. Hallelujah. We're just going to read. Hallelujah. We're just going to see our God's word. We're going to see minutes. We're going to post some spiritual cement on the word that God has spoken, even earlier tonight in your life, in the name of Jesus. In the name
thank
of Jesus.
Lord.
We pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But the grace of God is already within you. Just got to use it in the name of Jesus. We're going to thank God that no matter what the enemy tried to make it be another way or look another way, that God's word has spoken. And God's word, as Sister said earlier, is God's mandate about everything. And, you know, about everything. You know, hallelujah, saying she's about hallelujah. Glory to God. As God has spoken about everything. And we all have to believe that if he has spoken, then his time and his season is going to come to pass. So I just re-encourage you in the name of Jesus and pray the Lord just continue to build you up in the name of Jesus into the woman of God that he has purposed for you, but God, in the area of your life, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you right now, hallelujah, for what you said and what you're going to do. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, we come against the enemy that might come try to hinder, the enemy will come try to bring a gift, whatever God has purpose, whatever it is. We just break the power of the enemy. We're going to believe the word of God when he said in Philippians 4:8, finally, my brother, whatsoever thing is true, We're going to think on the things that are true. We're going to think on the things that are honest. We're going to think on the things that are just, are right. We're going to think on the things that's pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are good report. And we know that anything contrary to what God has said is not a good report. So if I'm going to obey God and keep his command, what he spoke, then I'm not going to allow myself to think on that thing. I'm just going to only think on the good things, the things that God has said and his purpose for my life. Okay, he said, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. And so I'm going to read this again about the ninth verse. He said, those things which ye have heard, both learned and received, this is what Paul was saying, and heard and seen in me, do, and the good God of peace shall be with you. And like I tell people, a lot of times when the peace is lost, it's because we have not done the commandment. We have not done what the Lord told us to do. Our mind being all over the place. It's us doing that. And this is why what I try to do, even my own self, no matter what nobody's saying, if they're saying something contrary to the word of God or whatever, I refuse to allow that to come in, because the enemy, they may not realize, but the enemy is trying to steal my peace and try to keep me from obeying God. You know, and I'm doing what I've learned, you know, from real means and women of God. I'm trying to give forth what I have learned to people. This is how I got my peace. But not focus on all of that stuff. You know, we all have an opportunity to do that. But I just pray that the peace of God just continue to be with you and in your mind and your thing, you know, what's calling that whatever God has purpose and plan, that God's will be done. Like I said, in every area of life, I don't focus on just one area, because I know we have to come complete. Everything has to come around in a circle for everything that God had purpose and plan from the day that you was in your mother's womb, that everything had to come complete. Because we can leave out a part, or we can just get this and the other part. Now, we're not complete. We're not complete in Christ Jesus. You know, so his plan and purpose has already been perfected in, you know, in him. So we just encourage you with that. And, you know, and thank you, praise God, because I'm sure that you will testify of what the Lord is doing and going to do. So I just stand with you, continue on that, which I always have, for God's will to be done in your life. But my thing has always been the complete will of God. Everything, with his calling, with everything. Everything, because everything, he put it in the kingdom. He put it, everything, he didn't put just part of it in there. You know, it's everything. At the time that he put it in there. And you know, even in the natural, so if you're building a house and you put all the windows in and say one window, you're going to get cold air coming in. Yes, you need another window. You know, so is that the same way with that brick or whatever that we might want to use as a brick in our life that God intended for it to be? Or in this season, in this time, or whatever it is, I was supposed to be in your life for whatever God's purpose. I was supposed to be there. If it's nothing but to encourage you, pray with you, or whatever it was. It went from the day, like I say, before you ever come in the world, even though we didn't know another, each other, devil, you lie, each other, we didn't know nothing. But God knew at that time what you call it. And I still believe in my heart, even at the time when he had it to be, so I had to meet Sister Sand in order to meet you. Because everything that God does, reason in a time and a season, you know. So we just thank God for that. But just, like I said, be encouraged. Because I got to be. Because if I believe God can do what he's going to do in your life, that will keep me believing that he's going to do what he's going to do in your life. That just is. That's why I don't look at no situation as being impossible. God can't change it or this, that, and other. I don't care how that person believe or don't believe. I'm believing in the God that we serve. He's a mind changer. You know, we used to hear, and I'm sure you probably heard this in church with Dean Bedell Sutton, all of them. They say he's a mind regulator. You used to hear the people say he's a mind regulator and a heart regulator, or something they used to say all the time.
Heart fixer. You know,
Heart
fixer.
Yeah, heart fixer and a mind regulator. Yeah, you're right. And that's what they used to say all the time, even though people don't say it no more. But although I wasn't save it a time, but I remember hearing people say that. So that's why I say no person, no individual, that God can't change the way I look at it. you know. And I'm glad I heard that during that time. And so it stuck with me to believe that I don't care who the person is or how difficult their heart is to change or whatever they are, I will not believe that God can't change their heart. They can't change it, but God can change it, you know. And I thank those elders the same for those words, you know, that I heard and got down in my spirit. And it helped me now when people say, well, such a person change. And that's what you say, but the God that I serve, he can change it. He can really change it. Well, we thank, praise God, I guess my airtime is, ooh, Jesus, gone. And I don't know why this thing won't cut off, but I'm not going to try to delay it like I do on the other one, but thank you for coming on. Thank God for what he says give me to do in your life. It's just really a blessing to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I'm a type of person, I'm not selfish to want God to bless me, not bless others. Because I know I don't serve a God like that. I know if I believe he can bless you, I can believe he can bless somebody else. You know, they all are part of the price. But anyway, just continue to be blessed until we talk again or whatever. And I'm going to say good night. Boy, if the program is. But hang in there. Keep looking to the hill from whence coming your help. So have a blessed night. All right, then. Well, thank you. Bye-bye.